at them, I want you to put them back again. Okay, we are going to count the number that are marked.
How are we
going to
know?
Okay. No, you're not being difficult. As always, you just look ahead. It's, I'm not used to it. Oh, I like that. Oh, definitely the happy face is the best mark so far. Has to be, doesn't it? Okay, what I need to know is how many people marked. Sarah? Six. Three. Eight. Five. 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 Four.
Three.
Five. Three.
Seven.
Three.
Seven.
Seven.
Three.
Three.
Eight.
Eight. You took a big handful, didn't you? Still waiting on the man. Two. Okay. Then, three. Okay. Please put them all back in the bowl and stir them all together. Okay, someone had a calculator. Jason, you always do have a calculator, don't you?
No.
Someone took it.
Oh, does anyone have a calculator? Just if you could total the number for me, it would make my life easier. Is you go out and you would catch a bunch of fish and you would mark them. You mark them in a number of ways. One way is to clip a fin. Typically, if it's a trout, you would clip the adipose fin or maybe a little piece of the dorsal fin or the anal fin. Usually not, or the paired fins for that matter. You take a clip out and then you put the fish back. And then you come back on another occasion, say a day later, a week later, a year later, or whatever, and you recapture a bunch of fishes. So now we go back and we'll start from the other end of the class this time. You take a small handful, and what you do is you count the number that have been, count the total number that are in the total number that have been recaptured, the total number of yellow ones, and the numbers that were marked amongst those yellow ones. So now we resample the population and we keep a total of the total that we catch and the number which are marked, plus, and the number that are marked. Okay? So now what you need to do, quite simply, is to count the totals and the numbers that are marked. And obviously when you recatch the fish, if you're recapturing them, you look for the number that are marked and so on. Often, if you go to a, if you're at the boat docks down around the lakes here, you'll find fishermen will bring in fish that are marked. And at Petoskey, there's frequently a DNR officer who's actually interviewing people about their fish and checking to make sure they haven't exceeded the fishing limits, and they will give him the marks and so on, because a lot of fish are marked. And you can mark fish in different ways. You know, if you've got fish from, say, if you're planting trout into the Great Lakes, and they've come from different hatcheries may mark fish before they go into the water, and then they might recapture them, and they can get estimates of the survivorship of fish from different hatcheries. The survivorship of fish from hatcheries is pretty low. Fish that are raised in hatcheries haven't been raised in the hurly-burly of the real world, so they typically tend to be not as good competitors. They tend to be much better as prey items from the perspective of predators and so on. So they, it's generally considered that by many that the bulk of the production from fish hatcheries goes to increase the growth of the resident populations, hopefully the wild populations. So we have some numbers here. Maybe if I could write these up, you could plonk them in for me. I hope this will work. Given my life these days, who knows? Okay, so what we're going to do is to find a pen and start off. Luann, how many did you recapture?
Five.
And how many were sampled?
Four.
So, yes. So here are the numbers recaptured. No, that's the next one over. Probably easier to use the arrows, is it? So? Yeah, okay. Total capture was five. And the number that were recaptured was four. And that estimates the population at 96. How many did you say, Sarah? 100. Yeah, 100. What you're doing, essentially, is we know that 77 were marked. And we caught another five, and we found that five-fourths of these were marked. So if we multiply the original number by the proportion that are marked in the recapture, that is an estimate of how many fish there should have been in the entire population. Because if we'd marked them all, you see, this number would be 5 over 5. And if we mark very few, then if we mark very few of the actual population, then the number that are marked when we recapture is going to be very smaller and so on. So let's have some more numbers here.
What if a bunch died in the interim?
Let's get to the assumptions in a second, okay? Carrie?
3 and 1.
3 and 1. Oh, that gives 231 as our estimate. Next ones?
3 and 2.
3 and 2. That gives an estimate of 116.
2 and 0.
2 and 0. What does that give us?
No,
it tells us that the population size is infinite, that we have an infinite number of M&Ms. I think I'm going to take that number and become an economist, or an M&M manufacturer. So this is going to give us infinity. Okay.
6 and 3.
154.
3 and 2.
4 and 1.
4 and 1.
10 and 9.
1 and
1. 1 and 1. That's exactly 77, isn't it? You indicate that every single fish in every single yellow M&M in the population was marked. Tony?
1 and 5.
1 and 5?
5 and 1.
6 and 2.
6 and 2.
8 and 4.
8 and 4.
4 and 2.
4 and 2.
1 and 1.
1 and 1.
7 and 4.
5 and 2. Okay, so our numbers here range from a population estimate of 231 to 77. And this is a pretty simple situation. So it means the average, the mean of our population size, the mean estimate is 167 yellow ones, but the standard deviation is 89. This is a pretty simple experiment.
Doesn't that just mean we have to do more samples?
Well, that's a good question. Let's think of some of the assumptions now. First of all, each one of these is an estimate of the population. It is considered that if you have a minimum of seven resamples, then you've got a good estimate of the population size. We have got substantially more than seven, and look at the variation. Okay? Now, what about the assumptions? The assumptions for a mark and recapture model were met in this experiment to the best of my knowledge. Jason said, what happens if there are some deaths? Well, if there are some deaths, then obviously if there is differential mortality, suppose clipping the fin is a stressor that tends to give higher death rates of the clipped animals, you're going to get fairly substantial overestimates of the population size. And of course, you are handling those fish that you mark. Now, in your experience, what's the survival rate of a lot of the fish you handle? It depends on the species, doesn't it? But if we get minnows on a hot day... Yeah. So if in the time period that we've looked at, there's been differential mortality, then we'll get unusual population numbers or inaccurate population numbers. And one of the assumptions of the method is that there is no differential mortality. And you know from your experience that that is sufficiently close to a load of hogwash as to be hogwash. What happens if there are births in the interim? That's going to have the opposite effect in increasing the numbers. And for this kind of reason, you try to take a relatively short time period. You know, a few days and so on in doing these estimates. When you're trying to estimate population sizes, if you possibly can. But what about immigration? If we mark the fish on the big shoal here, where are the fish going to go? Are they going to stay there? What happens if they decide to go and see their relatives on the other side of the lake? What on the other hand, if there is, immigration? Suppose there's immigration and emigration. Obviously, that's going to affect the numbers. So there are a lot of assumptions that are contained in this particular model. Yet it's probably the best direct method that we have available. And you can see that with something as simple as this, we've got numbers that are very, very, very wide-ranging. Now, you can refine the method, at least in theory, you can refine the method by doing multiple markings. For example, if you collect a sample of fish, say 77, if we were to go around and take all these and put a second mark on each one, you would then know which were marked originally, which were marked the second time, and you could begin to estimate things such as mortality. And if you add multiple marks on the fish, you're able to get better and better estimates of mortality. Mind you, fish have only got so many fins to clip. And you know from what we talked about in terms of functional morphology and locomotion that if you clip too much of a fin, you're going to impair its ability to swim, you're going to impair its ability to avoid predators, you're going to impair its ability to catch prey. There are other ways of marking. The most common method actually now is to shoot a tiny little piece of metal into the nasal capsule. There's cartilage around the nasal capsule. I can shoot a tiny little piece of metal into the nose capsule. No fish has ever complained, so presumably it doesn't hurt the fish. And this is coded electromagnetically, so that you can get the fish and you can sort of stick it into this electromagnetic thing, you get a beep and you get that kind of information. It's a superior method. For some larger fish, they put external tags on, because often the source of sampling are fisher persons. And they don't usually have these devices for putting the noses of their fishes in this electromagnetic sensor and so on. So they put tags on the outside, and they are going to impair the fish. They're nice little flags that other predators can see and those kinds of things. So they send very definite signals. But this then is an example of the mark and recapture method. And do feel free to sample the catch.
How many were in there?
I have no idea. Oh, there are 167 plus or minus 89. Anyone, please don't eat the yellow ones. Brant wants to count them all later. Okay, so we can estimate numbers. But when we're dealing with population dynamics, we're not interested in just how many there are now, but how the numbers vary with time. So let me spend a little bit of time, and I mean a little bit of time, talking about a little bit about the continuous methods, and that is the models. And lo and behold, you already know the model. For fishes, well, for populations in general, the most common model that is used to look at population numbers is the logistic model. Where you'll recall R, little r, is the symbol that's used for the growth rate of the population, and K is the carrying capacity. And you'll recall that if you plot the numbers as a function of time, then this rises to some asymptote, where the asymptote here is K, the carrying capacity. And you'll remember that the explanation for the shape of this curve is intra-specific competition. Competition amongst the individuals at some high population numbers, so that the per capita resource base becomes sufficiently small, the population number growth rate declines, birth rates go down, death rates go up, and so on. Bear in mind that the population dynamics people believe that the importance of competition, predation, and so on comes from its effect on demographics. And here we had an explanation of this curve, in other words, the population dynamics, in terms of a mechanism. The mechanism was important in terms of the population dynamics. In talking further on this, in linking it to reproduction, and talking about the R to K continuum, we recognize that population, another process, its impact was on demographics, and that the ecological consequences in terms of, say, releasing populations from competition, direct and indirect effects and so on, were mediated via these population effects and so on. I want to add one factor to this model. There are many, many things that you can put into play with this. You can put in different growth rates for predators and for prey, and you wind up with a lot of Volterra models. You can put in competition amongst individuals and build models that way. You can put in delays so that, say, a fish breed once a year, what's going to be the effect and so on. And these models can get, these continuous models can get increasingly complex to try and describe the sort of average kinds of effects that are going on and so on. I want to just think about one, and that is an issue which is important in terms of conservation biology, threatened species and so on. And this is the idea of the minimum population size. The basic logistic curve makes a very simple assumption, and that is that the per capita growth, the growth rate, if you like, is constant at every single population density. It doesn't matter if there are 10 fish or 100 fish. If there are 10 fish, the growth rate may be 1 fish a year. If there are 100 fish, it will be 10 fish per year. But the rate of growth...
These fish last time.